Hello, I'm Pastor Daniel Flukey from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Green, Iowa, and today is Sunday, October 10th, the 20th Sunday after Pentecost. Thank you for joining me for a scripture reading today and for a sermon. Before I get into the reading, I want to let you know that we have a mostly weekly church email with a few announcements for our life together and the weekly sermon video, and most weeks I try to include a little preview of next week's reading. So maybe that's how you found this video, so you already know about it. But if you're not subscribed to it, I invite you to sign up. You can send a message to me or to church, or sign up on our website at www.stpetergreen.com. There's a link there as well on the website to give an offering online if you'd like to support our ministry together. And if you do that, thank you. We appreciate it. I also want to mention that if you or someone you know in the Green area are interested in joining our congregation, we'd love to have you. We're going to be having a two-session new member class next month to learn more about our congregation and what it is we do here, what it means to be a member. So let me know if that's something that you or, again, somebody you know might be interested in. Today's gospel reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, beginning with verse 17. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to Jesus, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news, who will not receive a hundredfold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So maybe you saw last week's sermon video or you were here in person. Last week we had this reading about Jesus teaching about divorce. Today, we continue in Mark 10 with Jesus telling a man that to inherit eternal life, he needs to sell everything he has and give it all away to the poor. This seems like a good moment to invite you to come back next week for a wonderful, encouraging reading about the importance of gratitude and giving thanks. Next week, we'll have a much nicer, much easier reading than this week's or last week's. I say that because I am uncomfortable with this reading. Because to be blunt, I don't follow it. I like to think I'm a fairly generous person. I hope that I do good things with my money. But I have a lot of stuff at home. I have retirement accounts. I have a lot of books here that I own. I don't know how you take seriously anything that anyone with an iPhone 13 says about this passage. Although I will point out the quality of these online videos has improved in the last couple weeks. Some people, probably fewer than in the past, but some people still today insist the first part of this chapter with the teachings about divorce needs to be taken literally. And yet, over the nearly 2,000 years since Jesus said these lines in this part of the chapter, other than a few groups of monks and nuns who took vows of poverty, almost no one has followed this section literally, let alone insisted others follow it literally and give away all their stuff. In fact, if you hear these words from Jesus today and you send me a message or give me a phone call later after service and you say, "Pastor, I'm so inspired by the message today from Jesus, I'm going to sell everything I have and I'm going to give away all of my money," I'm going to discourage you. Maybe you should spend some time praying about it first. When you tell your family, they're going to suggest that you probably should get your mental health checked out. I don't think it's faithful to just ignore what Jesus says, but I also don't think it's wise to give away everything right now. So what do we do with this story? Well, let me share with you today a few ways that I wrestle with this. So, number one, remember there are other places in the Bible where God is in favor of planning ahead, saving, working hard so you'll be rewarded. The book of Proverbs has plenty of verses like Proverbs 20, verse 5, "The plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty." Other verses talk about the rewards of working hard and planning ahead, following the example of the ant who stores up food for the winter. Those sorts of verses are much closer to the capitalism I'm comfortable with and benefit from. So maybe that helps. Or option two, maybe it's not earning or having money and wealth that prevents you from entering God's kingdom, but how you use money and wealth. Maybe it's okay to have lots of good stuff, lots of wealth, as long as you do good with it. After all, the Bible elsewhere says the love of money is the root of all evil. It doesn't say money is the root of all evil. John Wesley famously told Christians to earn all you can, save all you can, and give all that you can. After all, think how much more good you can do if you have $100,000 to give away versus $100,000. And I actually really like this approach, but of course, Jesus didn't say anything to the man in this story about how he should use his money better other than giving it all away, which would mean giving up control over it, giving up all the benefits of having it. Also, saying your eternal life depends on how you use your money sounds awfully close to earning salvation, buying your way into heaven. Like whether you get into God's kingdom is up to the choices you make rather than God's grace. So, option number three, Jesus himself gives us an out right in this reading. He says, "For humans, this is impossible, but for God, all things are possible." I like that one. I like this approach because it's about us relying on God's grace, about God doing the work. As we talked about in confirmation this month, relying on God's grace is kind of what we're all about as Lutherans. But still, it seems like a pretty big loophole. It seems like it negates everything Jesus just said about the dangers of wealth. But maybe Jesus' point is that we should throw up our hands in defeat when we hear this command, because it proves we can't be good enough to get into heaven. We need God's grace. Maybe that's helpful. Number four, and I don't think this one is very plausible or helpful, but some interpreters have argued maybe this is one of those commands for just a particular person, that this isn't something universal. Jesus just wanted this particular rich guy to sell his things. It's not a command for you and me. And, I mean, that'd be convenient, wouldn't it? But it's a pretty big stretch. There's also some interpreters who have made a case that maybe when he talks about a camel going through the eye of a needle, Jesus is talking about a particular gate in the walls of Jerusalem called the Eye of the Needle, and it was a little small for a camel, so it was almost impossible to fit through, but if you took all the saddles off the camel and you sort of pushed really hard, then the camel could get through, so it's totally possible, just difficult. I don't know. I don't think there's no evidence for that in the Bible. That theory doesn't show up for hundreds of years later when any gate that was there was long gone. So that seems like a pretty, not a very good attempt to get out of this either. So maybe all those options and whatever else we might come up with are trying to soften what Jesus says when Jesus actually meant what he said. Maybe Jesus did and does actually intend his followers to sell all our possessions and give the money to the poor. I'd much rather find some excuse, some interpretation to get around it, but maybe that's the point. And so maybe as I preach on this text to you, I don't need to try to make following Jesus sound easier or more appealing. Maybe the faith that we're baptizing Memphis and Eleanor into this weekend, two baptisms this weekend, kind of fun, maybe it's supposed to be challenging. Maybe I shouldn't try to make us feel better about the fact that you watching this, and I certainly are almost guaranteed to be in at least the top 20% of the wealthiest people in the world. Maybe that should cause some tension and some wrestling inside of us. But I'm going to try, I guess, to resolve this tension anyway, and I pray and I trust that God will forgive me if I'm misleading you away from what Jesus intended. I hope that I'm not. So, notice a few things in the story that might be helpful for you. First, notice that the wealth the man had left him unfulfilled. He had many possessions, yet he comes to Jesus looking for something he can't buy. Plenty of people can testify that giving up stuff is spiritually freeing. We spend an ungodly amount, and I choose that word ungodly intentionally, we spend an ungodly amount of energy protecting and caring for the stuff we have. Letting go of even some of it can be liberating. Second, notice how Jesus reacts to the rich man when he comes running up. Verse 21, Jesus looked at him, looking at him, loved him. Jesus loved him. Jesus didn't give up on him. That's important. That's encouraging for us. Notice too, and I think this is really interesting, Jesus tells the guy, you know the commandments, and then he lists them. Don't murder, don't steal, don't bear false witness, honor your parents, he adds in one about not defrauding people. And all these are from the Ten Commandments. But Jesus doesn't mention the first group of commandments, the first three, the ones about worshiping and serving only God, not misusing God's name, and honoring the Sabbath. The first three commandments are all about our relationship with God, and Jesus doesn't mention those. Instead, he makes the parameters of their conversation whether or not the man is good, but first he sets him up to fail by establishing only God is good. Did you catch that in there? We talked about this last week. On a scale of comparison from us to God, even the best of us fall impossibly short. None of us can make it to heaven on our own, no matter how good we are, because we're all sinful. We all fall way short. We all break some of the commandments. We rely on God's grace. And so the rich man says he's kept all the, I'm going to call them all the earthly commandments about how we relate to our neighbor. He's kept those commandments. His problem is the first set. His problem is in his relationship with God. Wealth in this world can provide all sorts of earthly benefits. Safety, security, good medical treatment, free time. They say money can't buy happiness, but not having money can certainly help you with unhappiness. Buying money might not buy you happiness, but it'll buy you a lot of other stuff. But it can't give you eternal life. He's used his wealth to stay in control of his life, but to enter heaven, he needs to trust God. He needs to recognize who he is in relationship to God. He needs to give up control. And for him, that means giving up his wealth, his stuff. His problem isn't any of those commands about how to treat his neighbors, but the one about keeping God as God. He's made his wealth into an idol. And I wonder, what is it for you? What gets in the way for you in the way of trusting God? What is it for you that becomes an idol that you trust instead of God? Your job? The size of your retirement account? Education? Prestige? How nice of stuff you have? Your family? A need to be in control, to be in charge, to have the answers? What might God be calling you to get rid of, to let go of? What does that step of faith look like for you? Mark doesn't tell us what happens to the rich guy after this. He went away, but is that the end of the story? I hope not. With God, all things are possible, and God does not give up on us. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now receive the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'll see you next week.